Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Less than 2 weeks after Hurricane Helene slammed ashore along Florida's Gulf Coast, Hurricane Milton is now taking aim. The storm is expected to hit late tomorrow night. People are trying to leave Florida. ABC's Jim Ryan has more from the airport in Tampa.
With dozens of counties under a state of emergency, residents of coastal Florida didn't have to be told twice to run for safety. On Monday night, Tampa International Airport was crowded with people trying to get out of town. As the weather worsens, the airport is closing today.
The highways also packed this morning with tens of thousands of people trying to flee. Vice President Kamala Harris appearing on 60 Minutes, saying of her November opponent,
"I believe in my soul and heart. The American people are ready to turn the page."
Donald Trump was extended an offer to appear on the program as well. Separately, he agreed, but at the last moment pulled out. Two pioneers in machine learning and artificial intelligence awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics today. This is ABC News. She was a star in her own right and a mother to a legend. Grammy-winning singer Cissy Houston has died.
Wasn't it good?
And the matriarch of a family with plenty more where that came from. Gospel star and music legend Cissy Houston, mother of Whitney Houston, has passed away at the age of 91 after a battle with Alzheimer's disease. The two-time Grammy winner got her start singing in church with her siblings before ultimately going solo. It was in 1963 that she gave birth to her daughter, Whitney. Whitney became one of the biggest stars in the world and then eventually faced tough battles with drug addiction. She would die from an accidental drowning in 2012.
ABC's Danny New. Some doctors and nurses may need a refresher on taking blood pressure. A new study says too many are taking the readings with the patient's arm in the wrong place. That could throw things off enough to lead to a misdiagnosis of hypertension. When you get your blood pressure taken, your arm should be on a table and the cuff even with your heart. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Sometimes people change, and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A woman from North Carolina is waiting out the aftermath of Hurricane Helene in central Wisconsin. Melissa Kay has her story.
Andrea Ducklow said while things are devastated in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, people are getting help. But the spread of misinformation on social media is causing harm too.
Don't politicize our disaster because there's a lot of people missing. There's a lot of people that have died. And there's a lot of people that lost everything.
I'm Melissa Kay.
A man is in jail after a weekend standoff in Waukesha. Police responded to a domestic incident on Saturday. The man barricaded himself in his home by the time officers arrived. De-escalation efforts failed, so officers used tear gas. The alleged victim and two police officers suffered minor injuries. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks shooting guard injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks guard Gary Trent Jr. suffered a hyperextended left elbow in that preseason opener in Detroit. Trent signed in free agency from the Raptors. Damian Lillard looked good, scoring 15 points in 17 minutes, and talked about what his first year in Milwaukee was like.
It was just a blur. You know, I feel like everything happened so fast. You know, I think I came here 2 days before camp started, but I just feel way, way better coming into this year.
The Bucks host the Lakers in a preseason preseason game Thursday night. NFL, the Packers, back at home, will host the Cardinals Sunday. Matt LaFleur says he expects Romeo Doubs will be back at practice tomorrow after meeting with the wide receiver yesterday. Were there any signs he was upset about something?
Like, with all due respect to everything, I appreciate your question. I'd rather, you know, what's done is done and we're moving forward. I expect us collectively as a team to continue to move that way.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear with a low in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison film critic and CityCast Madison's Rob Thomas and sharing his thoughts on the Joker sequel, the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 8th, 4 weeks to go, 28 days until Election Day, and we're talking to a couple of folks here hour that you'll want to hear, State Representative Jody Emerson in a matter of minutes, and then Congressman Mark Pocan with his regular monthly stop by to tell us what's happening in D.C. Let's check the mailbag first before we talk to meteorologist Brittany Merlot. On our topic of cranberries last hour, Lynn in Oconomowoc sent in a text saying that even though I spent summers on Lake Sherwood as a teenager in cranberry country, I did not know that they weren't grown in flooded fields, that the fields are actually flooded later on. Let's see. Alicia tells us from Northeast Wisconsin, I am a canned cranberry person because it's also what I grew up with. My grandma's turkey was a touch dry. Meanwhile, Luke Mathers, who we'll talk to on Thursday, says, I'm team homemade cranberry sauce. I can share my recipe, which I've, has to start with, like, what, 3 cups of sugar for every, you know, tablespoon of cranberries? I don't know. Clearly, I don't cook this stuff. And Alicia asked about whether the Peshtigo fire happened at the same time as the Great Chicago fire. And yes, and that's what was part of the holdup of delivering aid to that region. If you'd like to chime in on any of these topics and more, you can call us or text us 855-75-CIVIC or put a comment or question in the comment section at Facebook and YouTube. Let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot now, where once again we've got temperatures in the 30s, 40s, even some upper 20s out there, but continued dry, sunny, pleasant. Leaves are changing nicely. Brittany, apart from the fire danger, you know, I can't quibble with this, especially when you know what's happening down south.
Oh, I agree with you. We've got nothing really going on compared to that hurricane that is just impressive. It exploded to one of the fifth strongest ever to be in the Atlantic Basin. I think it weakened overnight and then it re-intensified back to 155 mile per hour sustained winds. But as it lifts north, hopefully it'll hit some shear, start to really weaken. But my biggest concern with this hurricane is that surge. I mean, it's got a lot of power. I don't see how that is really going to ease, even if itself it weakens. So about a 10 to 15 foot surge expected into the Tampa Bay area. I've got friends out there that have left. I'm so thankful for that. I know a lot of people are waiting for flights to get out of there. Some heavy rain and storms are going to be starting into Florida within just a few hours. So some of those heavy bands moving in, but here for us, not much. We've got a frosty, crisp, cool morning, temperatures in the upper 20s into Hayward, Tomahawk, Merrill, and then low 50s further south and close to the lake. We had some northern lights last night. If you got to see any of those, it was beautiful. Today's going to be gorgeous, beautiful sunshine, no rain in the forecast all week long. Highs today in the mid to upper 60s. We're going to hold the mid 60s to low 70s for tomorrow, and a little bump on Friday for a nice warm up ahead.
Very nice. And from Rob, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies in 38 degrees. I took it easy with no mowings. I took pictures. The colors are starting to change, and Shawano County's best should be this weekend. On a down note, he says his niece Jenny and her family had their home flooded and destroyed by Helene in Port Richey, Florida, and they are also in the path of Hurricane Milton. Just underscoring what you said there, Brittany, and he concludes by saying prayers to the people in Florida, but he also did note having an amazing Northern Lights show last night. There's no other way to put it. If you've got any friends or family down there and you think for even a little bit they're going to say, oh, I think we can ride this out, call them up and, I mean, pull them by the hair through the phone and say, yeah, get out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you can talk them into that, please, please do. It's not worth it. I know a lot of them think we've been through this, but not this one.
No, nothing like this. Mm-hmm. Nothing like this. This is going to be a bad one. So our prayers are with those folks. Brittany, thank you so much for the forecast. Have a great day. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's join now in our continuing series of talking to folks who are making a difference in their community by running for elected office. And in a time where things are always so negative, especially the commercials, it's nice to have somebody whose commercials are a lot more like watching Cheers. But instead of Hi Norm, it's Hi Jody. Hi Jody. Hi Jody. Hi Jody Emerson is here, and you would think that maybe some folks around town know her because they do. Jody Emerson, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How or who came up with the idea that basically everybody knows your name?
This was our consultant team that came up with it. So the funny thing about that commercial filming, so we had several different locations, and while we were at the grocery store, there was actually two other people who, while we were filming, were like, hey, Jody. And the creative team was just laughing. They're like, I know we nailed this thing. And we actually incorporated one of those people into the commercial because their Hey, Jody was so great. So
I don't doubt it. And look, having both been have had public roles in Eau Claire, and other people having public roles everywhere know this. Nobody yells, hi, Jody, or hi, Pat, if they don't like what you're doing. You know, they just kind of scowl or walk on past. And I'm not saying that every hi, Jody is necessarily, you know, a scientific poll, but it's not a bad sign that you can credibly campaign on. Folks know you, because in a lot of other districts, people do not know who their legislator is. But that, you know, you've been a bit of a forward facing person for some time, even before you were in the assembly, right?
Yeah, it's I mean, both my husband and I are well known in the Eau Claire area, Eau Claire Altoona area. And I don't think that there's a place that we can go without people wanting to pull us aside and talk about something. So the piece of it right now with this district is it goes all the way to the Eau Claire Clark County border, and then there's some up into Chippewa County. So what we're really focusing on right now is making sure that people in the new part of the district know me and get to know me so that they can trust me as much as the people in Altoona and Eau Claire do.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, it and I can only pick on you this way because we're friends, but it shows your age that you refer to it as Eau Claire Altoona, because remember when we were growing up, it's like, oh, people in Altoona, they won't like that. You know, Altoona's right there. That's like the big next door neighbor. But Lake Halley has grown by leaps and bounds. And of course, I'm here in Chippewa, and they're like, what, do we chop liver up here? So the fact that, you know, you specifically make reference to Altoona, I think is kind of funny, because it was during a certain time frame when we were growing up that way. But folks do know you. But yeah, the lines did change. In fact, we're going to have on tomorrow Jody Habish-Sinikin, or not tomorrow, Thursday, excuse me. And she's running against incumbent Republican Senator Dewey Strobel, who is going through the case of a district that was very Republican being redrawn and now isn't nearly as Republican. And so, you know, he doesn't have the same kind of campaign that he used to. Similarly, you'd be the first to acknowledge when you had just the city of Eau Claire, you know, that was a different district than having, you know, the rural parts now. And I can say, as somebody who had to campaign in both city and a lot of rural areas, you know, that's a lot of folks that it takes a little longer to get to them and who really do want to know who their rep is. They don't want to feel overlooked.
Yeah. I mean, in the old district, I think I could drive across the district in 10 minutes, probably.
Yeah.
Now it's probably 45, 50 minutes to the farthest part of the district. And my house is about four blocks from the edge of the district. So one of the things that I'm doing when I'm going to the new parts of the district is I'm literally just introducing myself, saying, I'm the person that represents you right now. I'm the person that's on your ballot, and I just want you to get to know me so you can put a face with the name. And the way that I figure it is, our politics are so polarized right now. So many people don't know who represents them, especially in the state legislature. And we're all just something out there, whatever that something is. We're either really good or really bad. There's no in between. And so even if I am not earning their vote, my goal is to earn their respect so that they know me as a person. Because right now our mailboxes, our cell phones, our TVs are flooded with horrible, hateful mail and hit ads. And I want them to be able to look at those things and go, you know, I might not agree with her politics, but she's a good person. And hopefully we can claw back a little bit of the hateful rhetoric from something like that.
Well, yeah, because I mean, look, there's very logical, credible divisions that people can have on the issues. But then there's taking it to the point of, you know, name calling or, you know, stealing yard signs or, you know, some of just the worst behavior that some people feel emboldened to do. I don't know where they got that idea, you know, that it's okay to be, you know, crude and to have violent rhetoric, but here at the local level,
not from the top of the ticket, that's
no, no, couldn't be. But here at the local level, you know, you have a legislature where, again, you're basically coworkers. You have to see each other all the time. And again, you're not going to agree on things, but most legislators understand it's about getting something done for all of their constituents, not just, you know, the ones that agree with them all the time.
Yep, absolutely. And just to clear the record, wasn't sleeping on the assembly floor, if anybody has seen those commercials or flyers.
No, I have not. No, really?
Oh, you haven't?
Really? You were sleeping on the assembly floor, somebody saying?
I'll say, it's a whole ad campaign that they've done. And then I raked in $250,000. Yes, over 6 years, I was paid for the job that I was hired to do. Oh. So do the math, $250,000 over 6 years, not exactly the top 1% in the state. But, you know, they literally took a screenshot of Wisconsin Eye as I'm looking at my phone. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm a woman in my 50s. My arms just can't get long enough. So you got to hold it at like really weird angles. And wasn't sleeping on the assembly floor, doing the work of the people, getting paid for it.
And yet look, if they're going to do that, let's name names. Was it your opponent or was it like the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee or was it one of those shadowy PACs?
No, it was my opponent.
Your opponent. Who, once held a position of trust and credibility in Eau Claire media. And frankly, we deserve a little bit better than that from our candidates. We'll talk more with State Representative Jody Emerson on the other side of this break. Congressman Mark Pocan is coming up in about 15 minutes as well. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Will White Schoolhouse behind is the birthplace of the Republican Party. Executive Director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand. And really, ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
On this day in 1980, Talking Heads released their fourth album, Remain in Light, featuring the song Once in a Lifetime. Its video showing David Byrne's now infamous herky-jerky stage moves. It was among the videos played on the very first day of MTV and instantly became a fan favorite. We do our history lesson, the full history lesson, every morning at 6:50. Hey, if you are looking to see who is representing you or wanting to represent you in the Wisconsin legislature, we've got some sources you can check out. Dan Schaefer has put together a 2024 voter guide for Civic Media. Just head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. And for stories about things like how to register to vote, how to vote absentee, and more, you can check out the Up North News voting guide. Just head over to our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Or you can keep listening to fine radio programs like this, where we bring the candidates right to you, including Assembly Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire. Jody, the issues that tend to come up have fallen into basically two main categories. One that kind of comes under the, you know, the freedom umbrella, like, you know, bodily autonomy, things like that. And then affordability, you know, whether it's, you know, the child care crisis or health care or things like that. I mean, is there kind of a mental ranking in your head in terms of what you're hearing from constituents this year?
I would say it's those top two. And surprisingly, it's not even like women are for the bodily autonomy, men are for the pocketbook issues. I've talked to some older men who have voted Republican all their life and said, you know, I was a Republican until Trump made my wife not a full person. And then, you know, beep, 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 I'm voting Democrat. So it's interesting. Just as soon as you think that you can put a person into a certain box by looking at, you know, their car, their bumper stickers, their whatever, as you're walking up to their house, they surprise you every single time. So.
No, I believe that the Dobbs decision, of course, played a big role in that. Donald Trump's mere existence, you know, plays a role in that, where, you know, Kristen Lirley's been on here saying this is one of those campaigns where you talk to everybody. You know, usually the door lists when you're knocking on doors as a candidate, they're pretty regimented. These are where the undecided voters we think are, or the people that may be persuaded. But I think everything is just kind of a wild card this year, and almost everybody appreciates a good conversation. Obviously, with some rare exceptions, some people are going to be, you know, going to be the worst version of themselves. But I still think people enjoy a conversation more than anything else when they're seeing nothing else but TV ads and mailers and texts and everything else.
Yep, exactly. And the number of people as we're at the door who, you know, I say, here's some information about me and some other candidates. And then they laugh and they say, I've got more than enough in my mailbox. You can keep that. It's fine. So.
It is true.
There's so
much mail like ever before. In fact, let me reach down here because I'm going to make a collage one of these days. I've got Eric Hovde's face in so many places. On this one, on the flip side, here's a bigger Eric Hovde face. I mean, there's some folks that really think that I'm a swing voter when it comes to this U.S. Senate race, and you got to rethink your campaign budget. All right, in terms of the affordability issues, it's not like you and other Democrats in the legislature weren't trying to address some of these things. There were very concrete proposals made by you and the governor that you might want to remind folks about.
Yeah. So, you know, we've worked towards child care counts was one program. You know, we think about taking care of the most vulnerable people. You cannot go to work if you can't take care of the people who rely on you for their care, like maybe a 6-month-old child or something like that. But also when it comes to child care, you can't just keep on upping the tuition rates, because right now in Wisconsin, child care costs are more expensive than college tuition is. So at some point, we have to help people with that, or they're just going to choose to have one person, you know, go out of the workforce to take care of that child. You can't have somebody putting more than 50% of their budget into paying for their child to be safe. You know, that's one proposal that we've tried. There's also a lot of stuff out there about how Democrats voted against the largest tax cut.
Oh yeah, let's get into this one. No, yeah, you and the others voted against the largest tax cut in history. I'll bet there's a great big asterisk next to that.
Yeah, so think about that. Like, if it's the biggest in state history, do you think it's sustainable? Do you think it's a election year ploy, maybe, after they knew the maps were going to change?
Maybe targeted to the highest income brackets?
You know? Right. And we're all for cutting taxes for people because we do have a surplus right now. However, I'm for making sure that our schools are properly funded so that each individual district doesn't have to go back to the public for operating referendum. Let's maybe adjust that a little bit. And then let's make sure that we're putting any sort of income tax out there in a responsible manner so that we don't have to raise their taxes the next year because the coffers are empty. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think anytime people are seeing a headline like that, they've got to look past and think critically and saying, what's the other side of this?
Yeah.
Because of course we want to get the money back to the people if we can do it in a reasonable and responsible way.
Right.
The other thing is we have had some successes when it comes to state legislature. I was the lead Democratic author on a transformational package of bills that was signed into law by the governor that puts more than $500 million into a revolving loan program for senior and workforce housing that is really going to help keep the price of housing down. And we know that that is one of the highest expenses right now, especially for working families.
Yeah.
Rents are going up like crazy. We just simply need more stock. We need more inventory. People need more places to live.
And tomorrow we're going to hear from U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. She was here campaigning on a personal basis for Vice President Harris and talked about that very issue of affordable housing. And for a presidential candidate to actually propose something as well tells you what the crisis is like and says that people like you have really hit the nail on the head in wanting to address that. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, thank you as always for getting up unnecessarily early for you, but we appreciate it.
Good afternoon show, Pat. I'm begging you.
I'm working on it. Congressman Mark Bocan is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The migration south for millions of birds across North America is underway, and many are flying over Wisconsin. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. But you say you haven't seen them. Well, we'll explain why next.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Save Our Songbirds is a group organized here in Wisconsin drawing attention to the migration patterns of birds over the state. Ryan Brady is on the steering committee for Save Our Songbirds, and he says, while you may not see birds flying during the day, when you go to bed, they get active.
They migrate at night because they use the stars for navigation. The air's a little bit calmer. There's fewer predators that might eat them. It also leaves them time during the day to forage and fuel up, things like that. So while we're sleeping literally on good nights where the conditions are favorable, which we've had some lately, there are hundreds of millions of birds, from tiny songbirds all the way up to larger birds like maybe ducks, that are migrating over our heads, flying hundreds of miles in a night to get to where they're going.
Ryan Brady, he's on the steering committee of Save Our Songbirds. If you'd like to watch the migratory pattern of birds online, the simple spot to start, birdcast.info. Brady says that the migratory birds will continue to move over Wisconsin for the rest of the month of October.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Well, and because of the mild weather we're enjoying across Wisconsin, the harvest of 2024 continues to roll. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday, statewide, 80% of our corn silage had been chopped, 10% of our corn for grain had been harvested, 61% of our soybeans have been combined off, and 86% of Wisconsin's potato harvest is already complete. That is just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear with a low in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend Luke Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, which will include a presidential visit from Joe Biden. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right, again, it's birthday time for Bruno Mars. He's 39 years old today. Hey, this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward will talk to Maggie about voting rights, how elections work to stay secure thanks to so many good local officials around the state, and what to expect now that around 400 lawsuits have already been filed by Trump surrogates and the campaign nationwide. Lawsuits being filed weeks before Election Day. So stay tuned to Maggie Dawn Show today, 2 to 4, for more about that. There's also a new video podcast series from the parent company of Up North News, Courier Newsroom. It's called Closing Strong. Tara McGowan and Simon Rosenberg are joined by Democratic strategists, elected officials, reporters, advocates, all about how much is at stake and why it is so important that progressives are closing strong. So look for the Closing Strong video podcast on YouTube. Just search for Courier HQ. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us now. And Congressman, good morning. Nice to have you here. Oh, hang on. I got to hit the right button there. You with me?
Yes, I am. Hey, okay. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, no worries. Nice to hear from you as well. Hey, let me start with we were just talking to State Representative Jody Emerson, and if I'm not mistaken, you and the representative and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski and Assembly candidate Christian Phelps were all in the Chippewa Valley together last week to talk a bit about Project 2025 from the Republicans and the potential impact on Wisconsin. So how did that go?
Yeah. And Jeff Smith also.
Jeff Smith. Good. OK.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Project 2025 is something that people really need to know about because there's so much that will affect they and their families' lives from, the extreme positions on reproductive freedom and literally monitoring the pregnancy of every woman in the country. They want the CDC to take a role in doing that. Talk about Big Brother to going after the middle class by reducing overtime pay, by getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. And don't forget, that means pre-existing conditions. You can get health insurance if you have cancer or if you have heart disease, or for that matter, if you're a woman, because they consider a pregnancy a pre-existing condition, to raising taxes on couples who make less than $120,000. That's all in Project 2025. The real attacks on Medicare and indirectly Social Security are really dangerous. And we just want people to know that, plus so much more for veterans, for students, for just about everyone is negatively. This is a special interest dream. It's a dystopian view of what the country looks like. And Donald Trump and 140, by the way, 140 of his staff, former staff, cabinet secretaries, ambassadors, campaign staff have written this thing. So as Donald Trump tries to claim he has nothing to do with it, the reason he's saying that is because there's 4% approval, Pat, for Project 2025 and 57% disapproval, a net negative 53%. The more people get to know about it, the more they really don't like it. And that's the roadmap for Donald Trump and the Republicans should they win.
And look, it would be one thing if it were just, hey, we want to, trim the budget on some of these areas, but the acts that they would take to some of these things that seem so basic, like disaster relief, like the National Weather Service. I mean, there's nobody asking for that to happen. So you already come from a place of we want to slash these things. But now, even in the here and now, as Hurricane Helene cleanup, get started in earnest, and Hurricane Milton bears down on Florida, you still have colleagues like Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, voting no recently to help you make sure FEMA has the resources they need.
Yeah, that's the worst part. In fact, and sometimes it's members who are in hurricane zones that are voting this way. And, this is what we do as a government. We collectively take care of each other. We might have tornadoes up in the Wisconsin area, like we had in my district years ago in Barneveld. You might have hurricanes down south. You could have flooding in other areas, but we do this as a country collectively together. And, Republicans just don't believe in it. And on the weather stuff, Pat, I'll tell you the most recent bizarre thing, and I always think you can't get more bizarre than the Republicans find ways to get to, but is that somehow the weather is being controlled and these hurricanes are being directed to Republican areas. Donald Trump himself this morning put out that. And I, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene did a few days ago, and I'm like, yeah, that's Marjorie, crazy Marjorie. But, you know, this is crazy Donald Trump, the guy who, you know, was trying to show hurricane paths with a marker when, you know, he was misstated something when he was president. I don't know how much dumber we can take government than they are. You know, at some point, we're going to have to take the movie Idiocracy and move it from comedy and put it into the documentary section. But, you know, this is beyond embarrassing dealing with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody that has seen that movie plenty of times, it is just downright depressing. We're talking with Congressman Mark Bocan here on Up North News. And of the many things that frustrate us about what's happening in Washington, D.C., this next one is one that is admittedly far down on the list in terms of, you know, national importance, but it really gets to the heart of whether members of Congress are acting on the up and up. And in this case, I'm referring to one of your colleagues, Brian Stile, who, if I'm not mistaken, continues to sit on security tapes that would show Derek Van Orden's late night tirade in the Capitol Rotunda against Senate pages. Now, call me cynical, Congressman, if you want, but I have a feeling if that were a Democrat rather than Derek Van Orden, those tapes would still be playing on a loop on Fox News.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, first of all, Derek Van Orden is obviously Wisconsin's most interesting member of Congress, you know, a former insurrectionist turned member of Congress, gets in fights with Democratic colleagues, Republican colleagues, Department of Defense officials, the media, library interns, teenage pages. You know, I've never seen a guy go Washington as quick as Derek Van Orden. He thinks he's above other people because he's a member of Congress. And he had this drunken tirade after a beer bash party, which they have pictures of, a midnight tour of the Capitol, yelled at teen pages. And then, you know, there's this footage that they won't release. And I saw the footage, Pat. I went and saw it, and they won't release it. And there's ways you could blur out the kids' faces clearly. I mean, especially with AI, you can do more than that. But, you know, there was no audio. The kids had the audio recorded where he swore at them and said, I'm a member of Congress, and, you know, showed the arrogance of Derek Van Orden. But what I saw was the bravado and the creepiness, maybe is the word. You know, he claimed he did that with the kids because the Capitol used to be on the grounds of a Civil War hospital, and there were dead soldiers there, and it was disrespectful. And every single day, people lay on the floor and enjoy the rotunda, just like they do in Madison at the state Capitol. But what happened is, after he yelled at the kids, and he kept yelling at him, he literally chased him out of the room with a, you know, swearing tirade. He gets back to his group, and he puts out his arms like a curtsy bow, and he bows to them like he was showing off, like, you know, the beer-filled, the belligerent Derek was just, you know, kind of one more night on the town and showing off for people, rather than, you know, what he actually claimed. And that's what they don't want people to see. Because
let's just, you know, it is just right. Congressman Stile hanging on to it, right?
House admin. And, you know, they originally told us they couldn't blur out the faces. I mean, have we ever not seen videos where there's blurred out faces, right? Like, that's completely a fake thing. But, you know, it just shows here you have two Wisconsin members, one covering for the other. And, you know, I don't know what's worse, the person who perpetrated the arrogance in you know, actions of yelling at teen pages and lying about it, or the person willing to help him cover up when, you know, Brian's an adult, he should know better. But if he doesn't act better, then it's not that different.
Well, but it gets us back to this whole notion of, you know, Derek Van Orden wanting to look like a tough guy. And, you know, his latest TV ad has him surrounded by law enforcement officers, every one of them in sunglasses. And I don't know if that's because they're actually kind of embarrassed to be seen with Congressman Van Orden, or if it's kind of a tough guy thing. But it gets back to this notion of, all I'm really hearing about is the border, the border, the border. And I can't imagine that as Derek Van Orden and other Republicans campaign on this, they're not reminded by so many people who know who it was that killed a bipartisan border deal.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump. There's a Senate bipartisan deal that would have added protections of the borders, added staff so that people who came here and claimed asylum would be turned around in 3 months, not 2 years and 9 months, which is the average right now, which you might not take a 6 month journey if you thought you were coming and being turned around in 3 months. So like all sorts of things that would have helped on the border. And Donald Trump said, no, I want it as an election issue. And they all rolled and allowed it. And now they're trying to act tough as if nothing is happening. But I think people are way smarter. And just one more quick thing, another Derek story, just because unfortunately there's so many, you know, he wants to be so tough, but the poor guy is afraid to melt in the rain. His motorcycle was outside the Capitol a week ago Monday. We had rain. And at the end of the day, when the rain broke, one of his staff or one of his interns was out there with paper towels wiping off his motorcycle.
Come on.
And we had video of it. So I put it out on my social media. This is beyond embarrassing. Like, we talk about a fake tough guy, a fake everything. You know, this is a guy who is an insurrectionist turned member of Congress who doesn't support farmers. I mean, you know, the classic, Pat, and you know this from being in the legislature, you know, there was money that was taken away from the Dairy Innovation Fund to help dairy farmers take product to market. And he and Brian Stile actually did an amendment together. It looks like Brian's always trying to have his back. And it was restoring 40% of the $25 million. Why wouldn't you fight 100% for dairy farmers in Wisconsin, instead come back and say you have their back 40% of the time? And he still couldn't get it done because the Republicans can't get anything done. But that's just how sad, unfortunately, the Wisconsin delegation has gotten to.
Yeah, I'm not hearing calls, for example, to come back into session to, you know, help FEMA as this next hurricane comes, or anything that is in what I'd call the service area. Got time for something on kind of the more proactive side here. Because the outgoing chair of the Federal Trade Commission, Lena Khan, has been very outspoken about basically antitrust issues and price gouging and mergers and acquisitions, getting better oversight. And it really seems to dovetail with what we've seen from the Biden-Harris administration these past 4 years, is that finally somebody's looking at 40 years of Reaganism and saying, you know, maybe we need better oversight in order for capitalism to work. And I wanted to know your impressions of that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't know if I would say outgoing chair, right? Because,
oh, okay.
Yeah, she's the chair, and hopefully she'll be kept on by President Harris.
Because I see. Okay. Good.
I think she's doing an amazing job. I mean, we have oversight, my subcommittee on appropriations for FTC, and we've had her before us a number of times. And just this last time, you know, she's the one who in May, they went after the oil company executive. He was selling to Exxon, and they found hundreds of messages from this guy trying to conspire with OPEC, a foreign entity, about price fixing and supply fixing so that we would pay more for gas in the United States. And, you know, the limited tools she had, she was able to at least make sure he didn't get on the Exxon board for 5 years and a couple other things. But, you know, I would have preferred if the guy was in orange, you know, not like Donald Trump orange, but like, you know, orange, like in prison orange, for what they did to the American people. And what we were talking about recently, she came through Madison, was on groceries. You know, right now, a quarter of every dollar that goes to groceries by Americans goes to Walmart. And there's only four companies that control 65 to 70% of all the food. Well, there's a reason why we're still paying too much for food, is because you've got limited competition. And, you know, recently Target and another company just completely brought the cost down on everything just out of the blue. It just shows that they're artificially keeping costs up. So whether it be what we're paying at the pumps for gas, what we're paying for food, these are all things that she's making the power of government work to have not have monopolies, so that we can have more competition, which should be a free market concept, which supposedly what Republicans are for. But, you know, they're more for the few companies rather than all of them.
Yeah. I mean, for capitalism to work, the competition has to be fair, and there has to be a service mentality in government, which we'll hear from President Biden today later in Milwaukee. Congressman Mark Pocan, always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time, and safe travels. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. Take care, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we will be talking to Chad Holmes to find out what he's talking about on the radio in the Wausau area next. You're up north. Uptown, funky up. Uptown, funky up. I said uptown.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hi, I don't call radio stations very often.
Your calls are the best calls.
And keeping you inspired and informed is part of the Civic Media vision.
Thank you very much for broadcasting the Liz Cheney question and answer. I really appreciated that, hearing her voice, and for you to broadcast it like that was wonderful.
Listen to the Liz Cheney interview now on our website, civicmedia.us. Real news and great conversation.
Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon, and there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released a million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Do you, let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great, no, really, you have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Again, tomorrow on the program, it's a Wednesday, so that means we'll have our climate check with Melissa Baldoff, where we do some serious fact-checking on Donald Trump's complaints about a so-called EV mandate. And in our homeroom segment, you've heard of PTAs and PTOs. They're actually not one and the same. We'll talk about some of the differences, how they serve our schools, and how their work would be a little bit easier if we had a state legislature that held up its end of the deal in funding our schools. So that and much more tomorrow here on Up North News Radio. Chad Holmes follows this program on 98.9 WXCO up in Wausau, or listen through the Civic Media app. Mr. Holmes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Doing very well, thank you.
Good. And well, wait, I have to make sure that I give you proper credit here by Tony. Mr. Wausum is here.
I don't know about that.
I'm still warming up to
the
that one.
Compliment, Chad.
Okay,
you're spicy, okay. Mr. Wausum. I love it.
Spicy, oh. Mr. Wausum.
Oh, dude, there's nothing. Honestly, I don't know if there's anything I'd rather have in my life than spicy Chad Holmes. When you get spicy, oh. When you get upset, I'm just like, oh, all right, Dad is mad, and I'm just gonna not talk anymore.
I might have a spicy inroad here, but I don't know if I understand. Was there a Wausau City Council meeting last night that talked about the pilfered absentee drop box, the one taken by the mayor?
I believe it's tonight.
Is it tonight? Okay.
There's a little, I don't know what to call it, protest, but a little get together beforehand. There's another before the meeting tonight at 5 o'clock in front of City Hall. Some folks that are not thrilled with what is happening a protest of the mayor before the city council meeting tonight.
Well, and in part, what I'm wondering is, I know the mayor, Doug Denny, has said that he wants the council to have input on where a ballot drop box should go. Now, for this election, that horse is out of the barn. So I can't imagine that somebody's bringing up like an actual proposal right now to move it, right? I mean, you would think it would be within his interest to just kind of let this thing go while he's, under investigation.
I don't know. And the thing about it, there's whether or not they're going to be able to talk about it tonight, it has to get onto the agenda. And I don't know if it's on the agenda or not. Again, I don't know what the mayor is really thinking here, because it really is, like you said, something that, number one, we are 4 weeks away from the election right now. The drop box is out there. We need to be focusing on making this election as safe and secure and as available to as many voters as possible. If he has a major issue with this, then you have time after the election. I just think that if you're going to continue to keep banging on this drum, it's really all about trying to make it an issue to stir up the folks that he's trying to cozy up to. That's the only thing I can.
That exactly. I mean, whereas if you were more, again, if you were more public service driven, I'd like to see him film a video where he's standing next to that Dropbox and saying, hey, I personally would have this someplace else, or I would set up something different, but this is here. And what's important is that you vote, and however you vote, be sure you get out and vote. And I'd much rather have that from a sitting mayor than, again, you know, trying to drum up conspiracies and, you know, things like that.
And also the Wausau City Hall is as secure as any place in this community, because over the last number of years, quite a bit of money has been spent to lift the security, because in the last number of years, as you well know, there's been some rather, I guess you can use that term, spicy conversation, whether in Community for All or anything like that, that led to some threats with when former Mayor Rosenberg was in office, and some money was spent in order to further secure City Hall, and there are cameras. And I mean, if you want to have a Dropbox anywhere that's going to be secure, in front of City Hall is the place to be.
Yeah. Mr. Bach, you had some input on this?
I'm looking at the City Council agenda right now. I don't see anything about the Dropbox. It might be during public comments, or
yes,
some of my people sneak it in, but I'd definitely be during public comments, but it doesn't seem to be anything official on the agenda at this point, unless it's not specifically noted as part of an ordinance.
No, I think,
which
they
couldn't get through now anyways, this close to when it happened.
Right. And again, as I've said before, you could actually start the debate and something right now about the next election, but wouldn't it be better to wait till this one's done first?
Absolutely. And again, it's for a mayor that had run on the idea that perhaps the former mayor was getting involved in areas that she should not have, which was false, number one, that he got involved in this lane that is not his. This is about the city clerk. So again, and this is, you know, he's not been in office that long. He ran for this office earlier this year, was elected based on, well, the former mayor was getting involved in these areas that she should not have gotten involved in. Well, yeah, this is an area that
meanwhile here we go. Hey, before I let you go, I know you do all kinds of high school football, but and again, I'm not a big college football guy, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say to a guy that watches as much football as you do, Alabama losing to Vanderbilt in Nashville. How good did that feel?
That's fantastic, because there's all sorts of, and I'm not even talking about Alabama. I'm talking about Vanderbilt, because
oh, I'm talking about Alabama.
I know you are. I heard you say it's one, and it's like a hand in glove for you. It's got to be, you know, Vanderbilt, fine, but it's got to be Alabama on that side. Yeah. But I just thought that, you know, for a school that, there have been people that say, well, they shouldn't even be in the SEC. Well, they're the actual school that still has academic buildings around their football stadium. And frankly, the SEC is a bunch of football programs with a few one-story
a football league with a college problem. Yeah, exactly.
I see Chad Holmes.
And I actually saw a great line that said that, you know, college football basically is professional football with colleges sponsoring the teams. And that's what it comes down to.
So anyway, there's our little moment of joy in there. Thank you, Spicy Chad.
Absolutely.
For more coming up in moments on 98.9 WXCO. Chad, we'll talk to you later. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Air on Air at 10 a.m. So tune into that from 10 till noon. And Todd Alba, noon to 2, where we might hear remarks from President Biden as he comes to visit Milwaukee today. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning here up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Mark Becker, host of The Irrational Revolution, joins me. Plus, Trump says migrants have the murder gene. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.